Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, you're listening to Garrison with your host, Craig Garrison.
Yeah, I know. I thought you were sick, they said. I know, that job's just so easy. You can work whether you're sick or not. Well, I am sick, but I'm not that sick. I'm not so sick that I'm going to stay home when Senator Dan Coats is my guest, my old friend, a trusted person, and somebody with whom we've got a spirited conversation lined up for this morning. Dan, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Greg, I'm sorry you don't feel well, and I hope not to do anything to make you feel worse, but listen, I heard you were getting a little soft, and I wanted to come in and jazz up your show a little bit. So let's have at it. You and I have had some great discussions. I think we probably agree in 99.9% of everything. But where we do disagree, we don't hold back, and we tell each other what we think and what we're thinking, why we did what we did, and you know, the people can make their decision and so forth. So we've got this healthcare issue out there, and let's talk about it because you know, the advice was, hey, get off that. That's too controversial. I said, I'm going in and basically telling people what I think and why I did what I did and where I think we need to go. And this is a perfect show to do it. And I hope that to raise some of your ratings, because I hope more people will tune in. They told me you're getting soft.
They're fading. Well, I tell you what, to your credit, there were two senators before the two that we got now who kept coming to this show until they got into an argument with me one time. Each of them, not a big one, just disagreement, and they never came back.
Well, you and I have had some disagreements.
What's his name? Miguel Estrada. Remember that mess of getting him confirmed? I had Evan on the show to talk about that, and he was doing that party line stuff about, well, he hasn't written very much and blah, 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 but they wouldn't let the guy have a vote because they knew he'd get the job done. And so he and I crossed swords in a very gentlemanly fashion, never came back. Senator Lugar, same thing. One time, as a matter of fact, he wasn't even on. But I'm glad to have you here. Let's get right to it, because we always end up having too much fun and running ourselves out of time. If I can set a stage here, you're going to hear coming from me what I'm hearing coming from probably a couple hundred thousand people over time that listen to this show. They write to me. They call me. They stop me at Walmart. I hear it, you know. They think. The people in flyover country, the heartland folks, have the sense, borne out, they think, by lots of facts, lots of times, that particularly when the Republicans in the Senate don't have the majority, although we've seen them capitulate even when they do have it, the Democrats and the media all know before any debate begins, on any, I don't care what the subject might be, that if you just be truculent enough with the Republicans for a while, they'll fold up. John Boehner, I figured him out. As soon as he starts cussing, he's going to give in. A week before the vote that closed things up last week, whenever it was, I have a quote from him. No hike in the debt ceiling without spending cuts. Firm. Declarative sentence. What'd you get? Nothing. It took him 7 days to forget that one. And so the sense is, we don't know what they would do if you guys applied the unified pressure that Democrats apply against you. If instead of well, this won't work. We got to count votes, and we'll win the next time. And we got to kick the ball down the road because we don't have enough votes. You stand your ground one of those times, and they know that there's 44 senators, 46, whatever it is. They're not going to blink. You got a whole different game than if they know, which they always do, that your idea is going to fail because you go up 27, 28, 29, 30. Oops, not enough. Why not lock horns and stay put and let them blink for one time?
Well,
that's what I'm hearing. Okay?
All right. Listen, I didn't come in here to defend John Boehner. I mean, I'm not even in the same body. So
he's just my poster child.
You'll have to give him an invitation.
I got an awful lot out of Mitch McConnell. Same thing.
Well, you'll have to invite them up here and talk, and I'll recommend that they come up and go toe-to-toe with you or whatever. But I can only speak for myself, and I can only speak for the Senate and what how this whole thing played out. First, let's give credit where credit is due. Ted Cruz stood on his feet for 21 hours. He raised the profile of this unbelievably miserable plan, which we've known from the very, very beginning, all the way back in 2009, when the Democrats pushed it through on Christmas morning without a single Republican vote. And Ted Cruz has added to the profile of what's wrong with this law, and what we see unfolding before our very eyes now is proof for all of us who were aghast at what had happened back in 2009. And Dan Coats gets a call and say, will you get back in the arena, because we need somebody who can take on a Democrat senator in Indiana who's attached himself like Velcro to Barack Obama, who voted for this Obamacare debacle. And he's got 13 million in the bank, and I had zero. But are you willing to get back in the fight? And I said, yes, I am, because what is happening to our country under this president and under Democrats who support this president, who may talk one way back at home, but every time the vote comes down, they're right with that president on the policies.
I got
back in this battle for two reasons. One, I saw the country going way down the wrong track. And secondly, the passage of Obamacare, knowing that this was socialized medicine or maybe single payer right on down the line, this would never fly, never should fly. This would destroy this country and our debt and deficit. And so I got in there to fight, and the other guy dropped out, and I was glad to be here in this fight. But listen, this did not come down to some Republicans for Obamacare, some Republicans against Obamacare. The passion that we have to get rid of this is equal all across the lines. What happened here is that the tactic that was selected in order to achieve the goal of unwinding Obamacare wasn't work we didn't think would succeed. And so some of us raised questions about, is this the right strategy? All of a sudden, we were blamed for saying, you're not for funding Obamacare if you don't agree with our strategy. But listen, they won that argument, and we went along with it. We said, okay, you won the shutdown.
Who won the argument? They, you talking about the other faction, Republicans or the Democrats?
No, the Republicans that said the shutdown strategy is the way to achieve the goal. Some of us said, I don't see how we can get, you know, being in a minority in the Senate, how are we going to get five Democrats to cross the line? We don't see how we can do that. But they won the argument. The House shut it down. We were into the third week of the shutdown. The public had turned against us. The whole focus was on shutdown, not on Obamacare. And we kept saying, how do we get Democrats to come over to our side? Because we cannot pass this law as long as we're here, as long as Democrats have control of the Senate, and particularly as long as the president's sitting there. Are we going to get 22 Democrats to override a presidential veto? They were sitting there with cards that had ace, king, queen, jack. We were sitting there with cards that had 8, 7, 6, 5 of clubs. And so we did the best we could. We put the pressure on it. We supported that. When it turned out that it wasn't working, that our approval ratings were dropping like a rock, where people were blaming Republicans for shutdown instead of focusing on Obamacare. Well,
they were blaming the president for it, too. He was at a 37% approval rating a week ago.
Yeah, well, we were down to 10. So it really wasn't working very well. So we said, why not try a different strategy? And why not get the focus back on Obamacare? Well, exactly. Look at the headlines this morning. Democrat unease grows on health law. Not one Democrat came across on the other strategy, but on this one already, Joe Manchin and now three or four others this morning have basically said, hey, we need to do something. We need to back away from this president. So now the ball's in their court. So why are we tearing Republicans apart when the goal is to go after Democrats? Why aren't we focusing our effort on that? And that's where the rift came. That rift wasn't over the fact that we were weak on Obamacare. It was over, let's direct the funds, let's have the outside groups, let's all of us go after the Democrats and put the pressure on them, put the pressure on Obama. That's exactly what's happening now. And as the American people are watching the rollout of this, they say, boy, we should have listened to you guys. They're going after Democrats now, not Republicans going after Republicans. That's what the whole thing was about. And I resent anybody saying that Dan Coats doesn't have the courage to stand up and support this kind of thing, that he's waved the white towel and surrendered. We have renewed the fight. We've taken a tactic that now works. You know, Greg, look, you're a prosecutor. You went up after Tyson. Somebody said, no, don't go and talk like this to Greg. He beat Tyson. He's going to knock you out of the block. I said, hey, he's a friend, number one. We can have a good discussion, number two. But I resent anybody saying I'm not in there fighting for this. I walked away from a very comfortable life after 28 years of public service here and came back into the arena to fight this. And for somebody to say that, you know, you're not for this, that you've waved the towel of surrender,
I just won't accept that. I don't think that's what they're saying.
All I'm saying is that sometimes you have to make a strategic retreat in order to put yourself in a better position.
And what do you hear?
We were on low ground. We needed to get on high ground. Greg, have you ever been in the courtroom? I know you've been in the courtroom. You see a jury and your argument's not working. People got their arms crossed looking at you. The next thing you would do is say, I need a little bit different strategy to win these people over. So it's not the goal of winning. It's the goal of having the right strategy to get you there. I'm sure many times you have said, gone home at night saying, that jury's not with me. But I'm going to change, you know, I'm going to change tactics here. And
see,
you
think,
walk away as a winner.
I think what you, we got to get to break here because we're going to run ourselves out of time. It's not a matter of quit. I don't think anybody's saying that at all.
Surrender towel.
Well, they walked away.
You said it this morning. You said you guys just folded. We didn't fold.
The Republicans
renewed the fight in another way, and now the Democrats are coming our way. Look at the headlines. Look at all the talk.
It's going to take
us. About?
Well,
it's not about shutdown.
Let's see.
The talk is about going after Obama, this miserable law that's there, and we can't get there without Democrats, and now they're folding. That's
well,
who needs
a couple
to fold.
Of them. We'll see what happens. Dan Coats, our guest, back in a mere moment. Stick around. Coach's guest at the Garrison Show to the bottom of the hour. You're right. This is a good warm-up act. You know who's 9:30?
Who's
Ann
coming?
Ann Coulter.
Well,
so things will be.
You're going to have a good spirited show this morning, and that's good. And
yeah.
I think the opportunity to have a good conversation and talk to each other about this.
Well,
I want to keep going.
All right, because you've made your case. My audience has made their case for a long time. One of the things that you've done wrong is meaning Republicans in the Senate, and I suppose Senator Coats too, it's not been clear enough because it's hard to get the podium. I understand that part, given the way the media is. Hearing this from you this morning is the first time I've heard any of it.
Well, Greg, you have Lindsey Graham,
and you got
Greg,
John.
I have been on the Senate floor dozens and dozens of times. I voted more than 24 times for repeal of Obamacare.
Why does that not get out?
The state and talk all over the place. You're watching sports at night while I'm out at these dinners and
in front of Tea Party groups and everything else. I'm paying attention.
For you to say that I'm not engaged in this and don't have passion for this,
it's a little bit
crazy.
But
you got to use your heart and your head. And when your head tells you, it's not working, can we try a different tactic?
Okay,
and the first tactic didn't work,
let's
and
go
the second
there.
One is working, then I think there's proof in the pudding in
all
that.
Right, tell me what the tactic is so we can have, and we'll just sort of pulse that as time goes. What are we doing now as Republicans in the Senate?
What we're doing now is focusing as a unified body, hopefully, on the fact that the first strategy didn't accomplish what we want, but we are in this fight. And now we're on the winning side of this fight because everybody's talking now about Obamacare instead of shutdown, and instead of blaming Republicans for saying we're never going to lift shutdown even for 3 years because it's going to take that long until we get rid of the president. I mean, even the guy who behind this strategy said, I know we can't totally defund and repeal Obamacare as long as we don't have the numbers. We got to get the numbers. So why are Republicans attacking Republicans instead of attacking Democrats? Right now, we're in a position where the ball's in the president's court. We're going after him. We're going after Democrats. And Democrats are folding. Read the headlines this morning. Democrat unease grows in health law. Lawmakers
cite
woes and call for delay. They're calling for the same strategy that we were advocating now.
Because the thing's collapsing on his face.
We're making progress.
All right, so where does it go? Right now, we got four Democrats, five in the Senate that are going, uh-oh, and they got to run for office next year, et cetera.
Right.
What do you?
And there'll be more.
What's the Republican strategy then moving forward here so we end up with, and my bottom line is, with what result? What's the goal here?
The goal here is to put so much pressure on Democrats running for office that we beat them in 2014 and that we become a majority so that we can join the House with a majority in putting more pressure and passing laws and getting them on the president's desk and putting the pressure on him. The goal is to expose this miserable piece of legislation that the Democrats forced on the American people and let it play out in front of their very eyes. And so instead of blaming Republicans who have been fighting their hearts out for this,
What's the legislative goal? That's fine. That's election politics. That's next year.
The legislative goal is to keep doing what we're doing. The House sending over piece after piece after piece where we make it, you know, difficult for and force Democrats to vote on it. And all these nervous Nellies now that are up in 2014 that supported this thing when they were there in 2009 and 2010 and have made statements that, you know, this is a wonderful plan. I mean, this is going to be great for America. They've got to go home now and face the people. So finally, we have leverage against the Democrats, and already we see that they're starting to fold.
Does that mean that
this.
Some of the things, the good ideas coming from the House finally get voted on in the Senate? Harry Reid won't let them see the light of day.
I just said the goal is to take majority of the Senate so we can support the House. Well, right now, it's dead on arrival because Harry Reid is there. We're five members short. We could have had those five seats, but we're five members short. We need to win in 2014. Otherwise, you do fold and just say we can't win the fight. But we're going on now with a strategy that I think works. It was proposed earlier. It was rejected. The other side got their way. They said shutdown's the better way to go. They just dismissed this, what I just talked about. So we went that way. They had their shot. It didn't work. Now we're
so
getting
not,
a shot in there. And by the way, they're now saying the goal here is to delay this thing so we have a chance to vote on it. The public goes to the polls.
So you don't, there's not a legislative goal. This is all focused on the election next year. The strategy of the Senate can only be that because of the numbers. Is that what you're saying?
We're going to keep bringing these bills up, and we're just going to keep forcing votes so that Democrats have to be on record of supporting
this. Will those Democrats that are blinking maybe vote with you some?
One of them already has said he will, okay. And this morning four more said, we think we should. We didn't get anything like that in this other strategy. So again, I just go back to, you know, it was George Washington that said, you know, I'm on low ground here. I'm going to back off and use a strategy that works instead of getting massacred. We were getting massacred on this thing. And so whether it's Dunkirk, where the British said, let's live to fight another day and fight a different way, whether it's you in the courtroom basically say, that tactic's not working, I'm going to shift there. I got to convince this jury, and you've been very successful in doing that. This is all about the best strategy. It's not about the goal of what we want to get.
But being clear, the strategy is November 2014. That your focus is on those elections. And
if we can't win the Senate and stop and throw out Harry Reid.
Todd, quick hit, because we're going to run ourselves out of time.
We can't throw out Harry Reid. We can never get support the House.
I thought Tom Daschle was bad.
I thought he was bad too, but it doesn't compare to Harry Reid.
Senator, you said the other side, and I thought we're on the same side here. The point of the matter that I want to make here, and we kind of were talking about this during the break.
Well, the other side's the Democrats. That's what I meant.
Well, in terms of the strategy you were talking about, in terms of what we were doing during the shutdown, but we were talking perception is reality here, and I appreciate your stance on things, and I've been a fan of yours for a long time, but the people are desperate, and we talked about this before the shutdown when you were on. The people are desperate for making stands whether you're going to go down or not. I understand the number strategy, but before this even started, when Cruz was on the floor for the 21 hours, he was getting hit left and right by his own party, not you, but by others that are, quote, leaders in our...
McCain was calling him names.
That goes back weeks and months. I'm not here to defend John McCain. Right. I regret that he said that.
But the perception is...
I just started all this out by saying, let's give credit where credit's due. Ted Cruz stood there for 21 hours. He raised the profile of this. All we were asking him to do is don't turn your guns on the rest of us.
But the guns were turned, Senator.
Turn it on the
Senator.
Democrats.
The guns were turned on Senator Cruz and Senator Lee months before this ever happened.
See the perception you get there,
months.
Dan, whether it's true
not
or
by
not.
You, but by others, and that took the whole thing. It took the legs out before it even started. He had no support whatsoever. People can say that we applauded him while he was on the floor for 21 hours. However. He was already being undercut at the time, and that's where people are having a problem with this.
Well, no one should have gone after him on a personal basis. I disagree with that. My only questions for Ted, which were totally mischaracterized, were I don't think the strategy is working. Can we look at a different possible tactic? Because you and I told him, I said, you and I have exactly the same goal. I ran for exactly the same reason you did. This Obamacare is defining America in an America I don't believe we want. I know the people in Indiana don't want it, and I took the risk of going back and running against all the odds because I felt so passionate about this. So, Ted, I'm as passionate as you, but let's work together on a strategy that works. We tried yours. It failed. It didn't accomplish the goal. So shouldn't we shift now? And so instead of attacking each other, unite and put the pressure on the other side, the Democrats, and see if we can do
Will
better.
Will he do that?
And
is he going to do that?
He has not indicated he would do that yet, but I hope that he will.
We're way long. Do me two favors. One, come back.
I will come back.
And two, stay mad. I'm not kidding. I like this.
Well, I think the Bob Knight in me came out. People said Coates is a nice guy, but he doesn't fight. Listen, I've won 10 elections. You don't win those just by being a nice guy. You win those by getting in the fight.
Mad.
And right now, I'm fighting mad over what's happening to our country and our future. For our kids and grandkids, but not just that, but for our country. And this president is taking us down. That's why I ran. That's why I'm out there. And yeah, I'll stay. I'm as mad, and maybe I'm letting it out this morning where I was trying to be a little calmer earlier.
No, please. I tell you what, sometimes, it's like the old man said, sometimes, honey, I love you so much, that's all I can do to keep from telling you. Sometimes you get so mad, you almost let me know. This, if we've accomplished one thing, it is that we've got you hot. And not just hot inside, but it's coming out. This you got to do this.
Well, you're a fighter. You took on Tyson and beat him, and I'm a fighter, and I got the gloves on.
Kick butt, take names. That's what's coming from back here. God bless.
I wish you well. Get over that cough.
Ann Coulter next up. Stick around.